standing with me in honor of the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning. And thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. And we're a Bible-believing, teaching, living church. And I'll talk more about it in my sermon today. But there was a whole lot of things, Sister Alma, we used to be crazy about. Going to the club. New car, new girlfriend. Some of you don't want to be looking around like. But we're just so thankful that we know who Jesus is. That He loves us. That He died on the cross for our sins. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We could stand in honor and reverence, respect for God's Word. Reading just a portion of Scripture here this morning. The Word of the Lord says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put in thee remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Another rendition tells us, the New Living Translation tells us, now listen, it says, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. Be not thou therefore ashamed, notice this, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me this prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who had saved us, all the saved people, say amen, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought, fanning the flame. Fanning the flame. Would you lift your voices to the Lord for a moment and just thank the Lord for loving us. Thank Him for His Word. Just a prayer of thanksgiving right now. Just a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, we love You. We thank You. We glorify You. Thank You for Your love today. Thank You for Your mercy today. Thank You for the power of the cross, oh God. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was writing to his son in the gospel. This is the second Timothy. There was a first Timothy, a second Timothy. And this is a pastoral epistle the Apostle Paul would write. And this would actually be his final book in the final pages of these beautiful words. He would epitomize a loving pastor to a young protege. And he would write to Titus, he would write to Timothy, he would write to 1 Timothy. And he would write and he would share some things from a Sister Gutierrez, from a pastor and a father. And these are written with strong words of encouragement, warnings, admonition. And the young man that he's writing to was by the name of Timothy. Timothy's mother and grandmother were early Christian converts. And they had obviously communicated their faith to Timothy. He had been blessed to have a mother and a grandmother that served the Lord. And they were spiritually influential. And I got to ask us this morning from the very beginning, are you being spiritually influential to others? Parents and grandparents, our first disciples should be our children and grandchildren. In fact, it's the proverb writer that tells us in Proverbs 22:6, he says, to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, all the young people say amen. He will not depart from it. And it's in Ephesians 6 and 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Paul tells Timothy in his writings in 2 Timothy 2 and 1, he tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. He calls or challenges Timothy to be a good soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 3, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Paul would go on further to tell Timothy to flee some things and to pursue or follow after some things. He would say, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace. Somebody say peace.
Peace.
And he says to do it with a pure heart. And it would be David that would later say, to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. It's the scripture would tell us that we would want to have clean hands and a pure heart. And Timothy would begin to, or Paul would begin to tell Timothy that he remembers the unfeigned faith that resided. And he saw in his Timothy's mother and grandmother, he saw that same faith in him. He saw that same sincere, that non-wavering, the non-hypocritical, the purposeful faith, the faith that was genuine. It wasn't jaded. It wasn't disillusioned. It wasn't a kind of faith that was taking God and the scripture and the relationship with the Lord for granted. And it was a faith that was pure. It was a faith that was something that was he was passionate about. It wasn't mixed with religion and it wasn't mixed with hypocrisy, but it was a faith that was honest and unaffected. Here, Pastor, it was the kind of faith that was unaffected by whoever and whatever, and it wasn't affected by wherever. But we've got to make sure we have that same faith today, that nobody, no place, no thing is going to rattle my faith and my relationship with God. I'm here to stay, baby. Whoever you are and whatever it is and wherever I go, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ on the college campus, in the dorm room, at the high school, on the job site, in the break room, on a business trip, on vacation, in the streets, in the house, out of the house. I am going to be who God's called me to be because I'm a child of the Most High God. And it's by the grace of God that I am what I am today.
Amen.
Want those these say amen.
Amen.
My faith is in Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, we don't come to church to hear about politics. So, and if you've been to a church and they talk about politics, well, this is not one of those churches. But we cannot put all of our faith in government and society and all the things that happen outside of the Word of God. We have got to keep our faith and our eyes and our trust on Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens in the White House, the big house, the little house. What matters is what happens in your house and in your heart. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
He is my trust. My trust is in Jesus. The source of my strength is from Jesus. It was his blood on the cross that saved my soul. It was his name that is invoked when we're baptized in his name. I'm filled with his spirit this morning. And the Bible tells us in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Not maybe, or if you want to, it says you shall be witnesses. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, he says, so I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, that thou will fan the flame, that you would stir it up.
Yeah.
Now, to stir means to move briskly.
Mm-hmm.
To move. It's moving. Like when you make pozole. You stir it up. And you add all the good stuff in there and you stir it up some more. Why are you taking so long to eat that? Because I'm stirring it up. Some of you used to stir up trouble. Traviesos. But we need to fan the flame of the Spirit of God that is residing in us. Come on, somebody. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says the fan and the flames, a spiritual gift of God. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of the living God that is living in us. Paul would go on to write later on, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift that God has given us. It's free. It's free. It's gratis. It's free. It's free. And it's got to be stirred up. He did not give it to us. When you receive the Holy Ghost, which is the evidence of the Spirit of the living God living in us, you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance or the Spirit enables you. It's not a see me, tie my tie. It's actually a language that God will give you when you repent of your sins and he forgives you and he fills you with his Spirit. The initial sign is the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The apostles spoke in other tongues. In Acts chapter 2, Mary, the mother of Jesus, received the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul received the Holy Ghost. We have people that have what we would understand today, the gift of the Spirit. And those are gifts that work in the church. But what I'm talking about here this morning is the free gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the gift that God gives to everybody that would ask and want and would receive. He doesn't hold it back. He's free. Really giving it to anybody that wants it. And we've got to let the fire of the Holy Ghost be alive in us. We cannot walk around all spiritually anemic and spiritually gasping for air. And, oh, I'm barely going to make it. Poor me. Let me have a shirt that says, poor me, poor porcito. No, but I got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I got to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? And do you have the Holy Ghost? And if you want it, you can get it today. Before you leave, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. Paul would begin to say, stir up the gift. Stir it up. You can't let the fire of the Holy Ghost and let the fire of what God has done for you, can't let it dwindle down to smoke. All smoke is a fire that was. There's a lot of things that I was, but I'm not going to be a was on fire for God. I'm going to be I am on fire for God. I am on fire for God. I am revival. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I am a witness. I am that I am today because he died on the cross for my sins. And he didn't just die on the cross for my sins.
Right.
But he was buried in a tomb.
Right.
Yeah. He didn't just stay in the tomb. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, by the way. But on the third day, he rose up again victorious over death, sin, hell, and the grave.
Yeah.
Ah, reason enough to fan the flame this morning. We've got to let the fire of the Holy Ghost be burning inside of us. We got to keep it burning. We cannot allow anybody or anything put a wet blanket on our spiritual fire. That's why we got to pray and we got to praise and we got to worship. That's why we got to keep adding to the altar of prayer. Even when you don't see your prayers answered, you got to pray anyways. The writer will tell us in Leviticus 6 and 13, the fire of the altar shall forever be burning. It shall never go out. In fact, Moses would tell us in the book of Deuteronomy 4 and 24, notice this, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Even a jealous God. I know there's no jealous people here. unless you're a grandmother. I guess you could be jealous for your grandkids. It's all right. But, you know, jealous people, you don't want to mess with sometimes jealous people. God's jealous. He don't want you to be on fire for your hobby and not on fire for him. He's jealous. Jealous, right? He's jealous, right? You don't want to be on fire for something that has no eternal value. And just give God smoke. No. No. Hebrews will tell us in Hebrews 12 and 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. He led them in the Old Testament by fire by night. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Amen. We're supposed to feed the fire sacrifice. Got to feed it. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which if you feel like it.
No.
Reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. Don't settle for the status quo. Or how, you know, I have a little flicker, so, you know, this little light of mine. No.
Big light.
If the people you hang with don't want to get lit for Jesus,
come on.
You get lit for Jesus.
Yeah.
You find some new friends. They want to blow out your flame. Why you gotta be all that? Because when I was out there, I was all that. Don't you remember? You wouldn't have been talking to me like that before, so you better be careful. I'll pray for you in the name of. Come on, somebody. Get consumed with Jesus and stay consumed with Jesus. Titus 3:5 tells us, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, some of you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Some need it and some need a renewing. Don't get caught off guard where your fire gets blown out by every trial and tribulation. Right? But you let those trials and tribulation, let them solidify to everybody, especially the devil. That no, all this does is make me prove to everything around me that I am serving God. Come hell or high water, I am serving the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Romans 15 and 13 tells us, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Can't do this on your own. Life is already hard and tough and difficult, challenging by yourself, right? Well, you know, you need a crutch. Well, call it what you want. I just call it the power of the Holy Ghost. You've come too late to tell me it's not real. Got to have faith. Trust in God. We put so much faith in so many other things. Faith in some of those tires in your car, you know better. You should. Faith in that chair, right? That office chair, you know. Boss don't want, you know, oh, this is a $40 chair. Man, I do. I look like a $40 person. Come on. We got faith for a lot of things. We got to put our faith in Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What are you doing with that praise and worship? I'm diligently seeking him. I'm fanning the flame. Why? Because he said, if there be two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. So what do? When I get together with God's people, you bring a worship, you bring a praise, I'll bring a prayer, you bring a dance, you bring a song, and you know what? We'll fan the flame of the Holy Ghost. We'll fan the flame of revival. When the people of God got together in Acts chapter 2 and 1, it says on the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord. And what began to happen? There began to appear cloven tongues like as of fire. I wonder what would happen this morning if we would begin to get in one accord and there would be cloven tongues like as a fire that would fall on each of us, and we begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Somebody fan the flame this morning. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. Not everyone here has been the Christian they are today.
Right.
Oh, no. And if they say they were, you know, well, tell them you got to be the first one this morning at the altar.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We all have a different conversion experience.
Yep.
We all have a different past. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really knew who you were sitting by, you'd be up here with me. Because at least you know, so I can stay on the other side of Pastor. When he goes over here, I'm going over there. You hold on to your purse, you know, and your wig. You'd be holding on to both, right? But we all have a different past. Yeah. Holding your teeth in, you know. You'd be like, holding your husband, you'd be like. Not everyone here was born in a Christian home.
Amen.
Not everyone here grew up in church.
Amen.
Many here today are first generation. Many God saved and delivered from the filth and deception of sin. King David declared in Psalm 40 and 2, he said, he brought me out also of a horrible pit. Tell your neighbor, if you only knew. Out of a miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock.
Hallelujah.
Established my goings. I feel like preaching this morning. He brought David out of the miry clay. That's the miry clay is the place of instability. That when he would take a step, he'd fall back further than what he was, and he'd slip, and he was in danger of getting swallowed up. It's kind of like we would understand like quicksand. But David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Somebody shout, he brought me out. He brought some of you out of addiction. Brought you out of violence. Running the streets and running your mouth. Brought some of you out of false doctrine and brought you out of fornicating and stealing. And, oh, I'm going to preach anyway. Brought you out of lying and brought you out of gossip and a broken heart and bitterness and a wounded marriage. He brought you out of fear. And he didn't just bring you out, but he established your goings. You didn't know where you were going, but you were going nowhere fast. Nobody going nowhere, but he brought you out, baby. He brought you out, and you're here today, and you're on your way to heaven. Somebody give God a praise. Because he brought you out. He established you.
Hallelujah.
He established who you are. Your grandmother may have been something you're not proud of. Your grandfather may have been something you're not proud of. Your father, your dad, or maybe you don't even know that part of the family. But can I tell you, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. You don't have to go down that path. You can be connected to the family tree, but have your own branch. When you're buried in baptism in the name of Jesus, all your sins are washed away. You become brand new. What a blessing, because he died on the cross for our sins. He brought me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
says he steadied me as I walked along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now instead of singing the blues, you're singing, I've got the joy of the Lord. Psalm 40 and 3 says, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. And fear or reverence is what that means. And trust in the Lord. Oh, man.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm on fire. You know that. The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Amen.
They eat more tacos, right? There ain't no thing for big sin or little sin in the kingdom. There may be in society a big you and or a big me and a little you, but we're all sons and daughters. They're his children.
Amen.
Right? This third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation in the church is amazing. It's a blessing. I want that. But the faithfulness of God is come one, come all, whosoever will. He loves us. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
You know what the beautiful thing is about him putting a new song in my mouth, even a praise unto our God? Because of all the people that you used to run with, or they're just kind of, I'm just kind of sitting back watching. They're not all haters. They really are curious. They really are watching to see if what happened in you is a real thing.
Right.
They really are watching the transformation and saying, man, because if you knew Bernard, you know, Brother Bonham, come help me. If you now, just in case anybody thinks I'm picking on him, I am. But he's on the pastoral team, so that's just what happens. But he's a good man.
Amen.
We love him.
Amen.
But don't let this suit fool you. Trust me, I'm not going to do this to nobody else. You guys be all right. But this is what you see today. This is because of the mercies and the love of God.
Amen.
And the same thing when you see him praise and shout and clap his hands and give in the offering and smile. He ain't got it all together. He's got some aches and pains and some things he's glad nobody knows about. He's got some things he wish he could go back and do over. But thanks be to God that he is today who he is. Thank you. And we got to fan the flame. So when you see me lifting my hands, hey, I'm not perfect, but I serve a perfect God. When you see me do the pastor shuffle, hey, it was a day I used to drop it like it's hot in the club, but I'm here in the church now. You think I'm going to give God leftovers? No, baby. I'm going to give him what I've got. I'm going to put on my best shoes. I'm going to give him my best praise. I'm going to come early. I'm going to stay late because I don't got to pay a cover charge and I can get all I want. I'm fanning the flame of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give God a praise. Don't judge my worship. You don't know where I've been through. You don't know what I faced. Some of you had to fight all of hell to get here this morning. Thanks be to God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You are the church. So fan the flame. Got a new song that I sing.
Hallelujah.
You know, somebody say he's got to hurry. Don't be scared. It's all right. Davian's like, come on, Pastor.
Thank you.
You know that.
Thank you.
when he used to have some days before Christ, you'd get a little hostile after a few drinks. They would tell you, oh no, don't let him get, you know. Some would get extra friendly, right? They love everybody. Well, where'd they go to? Where'd they disappear to? Where's my husband? You know, you're like, hey, when you get the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
the fruit of the Spirit,
yeah,
love,
yeah,
covers a multitude of sins. Love is patient. Love is kind. Keep no record of wrong. It's forgiving.
Amen.
Maybe not right away, not the first time, because it takes time. Somebody say, he's still working on me. There's peace. There's peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. There's joy. Joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory. Nehemiah in chapter 8 would say, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. We got to understand that it's the joy of the Lord. So when you see somebody that they're smiling, maybe they do, and ask them to give you a love offering. Because they got $1 million in their pocket, they're waiting to spend it. It's not because they got it all together. It's because they know who Jesus is.
Amen.
They knew where they were. They know where they are today, and they know, had it not been for the Lord. So I'm going to fan the flame. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to worship. I'm going to give. I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to live right. I'm going to talk right. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to stand for the things of God and not sit on the things of God. But he has called me to be something, and he's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I will fan the flame of my revival that God is bringing to my family, to my home, and I'll do it because revival starts with me.
Yes.
Somebody shout, fan the flame.
Yes.
We see Paul writing, telling Timothy, fan the flame, stir up the gift that is within you.
Amen.
We do that by sharing what God has done for us. We do that by being thankful for what God has done for us. We do that by what Jude tells us in Jude 1 and 20, building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The gospel is good news. You may have bad news, but don't go share that bad news more than you share the gospel.
Yeah.
You ought to share the gospel more than anything else.
Amen.
You may have issues, but the gospel has no issues.
Amen.
The gospel is life.
Amen.
You may have personality conflicts with somebody, but can I tell you, the gospel is for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. You may think that you got to shake my hand or repeat a sinner's prayer or there's got to be a new doctrine. There's no shaking of my hand. There's no sinner's prayer. There's no new doctrine. Jesus said in John 3:5, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again.
Amen. Amen.
It's repentance.
Yeah.
Baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I give you scripture reference and proof for that this morning. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter declared it on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Then in verse 39, he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then in Acts 2 and 40, somebody say, it gets better.
It gets better.
With many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The fire starts with you.
Yes.
You've got to keep the fire alive. I want to see the revival that God has promised us.
Yeah.
The harvest that he's bringing.
Amen.
But it's going to challenge us. It will require us, Sister Molina, to pay attention to the things that God is doing in our lives. It will cause us to be pushed out of our comfort zones, and it's going to cause us to change. The caterpillar doesn't stay a caterpillar forever, but it changes and grows and it adapts. There's a metamorphosis process that takes place before it's a butterfly.
Right.
You don't just get in relationship with the Lord and change overnight. But there is a change. There needs to be a change. There should be a change. And fire exposes things that were not always seen before. Fire attracts. Some folks like to chase where the fire's at. Storm chasers. Some of us don't do well with change. But we can't stay 10 years old forever. We can't stay 20 years old forever. We've got to grow in our relationship with God. We've got to grow in our relationship with one another. God didn't call us to be a small vapor, but he called us to be a fire. We were filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We got to keep the fire going.
Amen.
Jeremiah tells us that his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones.
Amen.
That means that it was in him that anybody and everybody that could, he would share with them and tell them about the gospel, about what God was doing, about the prophetic word, about the proclamation of the Lord. The musicians begin to come. We cannot be timid. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Not to be timid or shy. We're not to be rude and disrespectful. The Bible does say do all things decent and in order. But man, some of you were pretty... woo-hoo. Right? You had one speed. Fast.
Yeah.
Stop dancing. Don't stop dancing. Just change partners and different music.
Glory God.
Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
We've got so much to share. You have got so much to share to people that are in your harvest field. They know you. They remember when. And now they see the here and now. Say, it's not me. The church has helped me. But it's the power of God that has changed me, transformed me. And all I'm doing is fanning the flame of what God is doing in my life. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. 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 As we stand across the sanctuary this morning, sometimes as we stand, sometimes you got to stir something up to get it all together. Some salad dressing has to be shaken before it can be placed and used properly. Some of you need to be shaken spiritually. But I'd rather be stirred than shaken. Stir me, God. pastor. I want to add wood to the fire rather than God throwing me into the fire. We can burn now with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We can burn later. Oh God, I want to burn. I want to be on fire for you. I wonder this morning if there's anybody that you want to draw closer to God. You want a closer relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're at step one and you want to be at step one 100%. Maybe you're at step five and maybe at step 100. That's up to you. But this morning, this afternoon, we've got to be on fire for Jesus. We've got to fan the flame of what God is doing. If you want to draw closer to God this morning, I want you to bring somebody with you to the front. It's a testimony, it's a sign, it's an outward expression. Pastor, I want to draw closer to God. I want to add more wood to my fire in my relationship with God. Would you come this morning? Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. There's 150 more that should be coming. This is not a religious church. Thank you, Brother Parra. Thank you. Hallelujah. I wonder this morning as we're coming. Come on, moms and dads, leadership, elders. Everybody here should want to draw closer to God. Oh, God. And I want you to take this challenge this morning that every day you would add something to your personal altar. Because the fire doesn't fall on altars that have nothing on it. An altar is meant for something to be on it. We've got to put some stuff on the altar so the fire of God can consume it and burn it. Then He'll burn stuff in us. Remove anger and jealousy and put in love and kindness. I wonder this morning, this afternoon, if as we lift our hands unto the Lord, if we could just envision our friends and our family and our loved ones. They're not here yet with you. But oh God, You are fanning the flame for the fire of revival in your home, in your neighborhood. You're fanning the flame of anointing in your ministry. Some of you inherited this from your grandmother and your mom, and they're not here this morning. They're gone. And it's you now. It's up to you. You are that flame for your family. Oh. Come on. Just begin to pray. Oh God. Help me, Lord. Help me to be that log, that fire, that flame. Help me, God.